We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and this is the Refresh broadcast. We are thankful for this. I know that this may be the last work day that some of you have for the year. Some of you may have already be traveling away, and I just want to thank God for all that he's done this year. Yesterday I spoke on the broadcast about be sure that you make an intentional trip into the presence of God to give God thanks and praise for everything that he's done for you. If you've come through a surgery successfully this year, thank God. If your job, you didn't get laid off, thank God. If your house didn't get foreclosed on, thank God. If you, you know, you were blessed, you had family around you, thank God. And today I want to focus on another aspect toward as we get to the end of the year. And I've got a different broadcast that's going to be coming up. I don't know exactly when. I'm still waiting for the details to work out on that. But today I want to take you back to Luke 17. Luke 17, yesterday, that's where we were with the cleansing of the 10 lepers and only one of them returned back. I do want, before I get into that today, to let you know that we are having Sunday school this coming Sunday at 9:30, and then we have our worship service at 10:30 in the morning. However, we don't have the Sunday night celebration that we normally would have, so if you are planning on coming to attend one of our services, we also don't have service Wednesday night. That's New Year's Day. We've got some church things that we have lined up for other times, but the service availability is a little reduced during the holiday as we do some work on our facilities and spend some time with our families and gear up for what God has for us in 2014. We are so excited about what God has in store for 2014. We've been looking at the end of the year things at the church, and we are so thankful for what he has done that we want to continue to believe for even greater things in the coming year. We've got some people have been sharing some other testimonies that are going to be coming out in the next few weeks. And I just want you to know God is on the move. There's a song out there that I really like, and that is God's Not Dead, He's Surely Alive. I do believe that God is very much alive and very active even here in America. So if you've got your Bibles and want to turn to Luke chapter 17 with me this morning, I want to begin reading in verse number 20. And it says there, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.' Then he said to the disciples, 'The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. likewise as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed, and the one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? And he said, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. This morning I would like to share with you that when Jesus came and was born of Mary, that was the first coming, but he is coming again. Now, I know that this is going to firmly disturb some other people, but I very much believe the Word of God. And so when it says that Jesus is going to come again, I believe that he is going to come again. You see, I believe that God says what he means, and he means what he says. And I believe that he tells us, he gives us the Word of God to let us know what he has in mind, to reveal to us what God has in store for the future. You see, he is coming back for a prepared people. He is coming back for a repentant people. He is coming back for an empowered people. Actually, he says he's coming back for a bride that is blameless and without spot or without wrinkle. But I'll share more about that eventually, but in a future broadcast. But the point I want to focus on is, and this is with the end of the year coming up, I just want you to know there is going to come a day when Jesus is going to hear the Father say, go retrieve your bride, go get your bride. And at that point in time, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, I don't know when it is going to take place, but I do know this, when the Father says that to the Son, that he is going to come and he's going to take us to be with him, that where he is, there we may be also. And so I want to encourage you, because when Jesus came the first time, the people should have been expecting him. They should have been looking for him. They should have been longing for him. But instead, they fought against it. There were things that they thought that they knew that hindered them, that they were stumbling blocks to them. And I don't want you to be caught unawares. Like I told you here, I'm going to be doing a radio broadcast in at least as it's planned right now, in the next few weeks, about with a young lady who was in my youth group over 20 some years ago, and she's gone on to be an actress, and the name of that movie, or she's in a movie that's being released nationally. It's already been released in some local markets, but it's being released nationally in January, called Rapture, the Final. And there are some people, I know that there are going to be some that don't believe that. And you know what? If that's the case, you don't have a problem with me. You've got a problem with the Word of God. There are some people who do not believe in hell. There are some people who do not believe in the consequences of sin. But all of those things are clearly delineated in the Word of God. And so this conversation that Jesus has with the people, he was asked by the Pharisees in verse number 20, when the kingdom of God would come. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is established when the king takes up residence. For my message this last Sunday, which was our Christmas Sunday message, I I preached a message titled The Trouble with Christmas, and I won't share with you everything what I shared on that day, but I'll share with you that one of the three people that it specifically mentions that was troubled at the involved in the nativity story, the story of Christmas, was Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled when the wise men came and said, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews?" Now, there are some people who are agitated and annoyed whenever people put up Christmas decorations and put up nativity scenes. One that really was mind-blowing to me was a person who sent a letter to a neighbor and said, I don't think you should put up Christmas decorations in your yard because not everybody in the neighborhood is Christian. Let me tell you, folks, the reason that Merit Assembly of God exists, the reason that I'm here today, is to let people know that Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish. He came to live a sinless life, offer himself upon the cross, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, rise the third day from the grave, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he's ever making intercession for us. The reason we are here is because we want everybody to have the opportunity to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm not here to compel by force people to believe. I'm here to put out the gospel of truth to let you know that the opportunity exists, and then you have got to make a decision. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to accept him? Are you going to believe him? Are you going to make him your Lord? Because that was the real trouble with Herod and the people of Jerusalem, is that Jesus, when he was born King of the Jews. When he was born, it was testament to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is upon you. And when the king comes, when Jesus was born, he was born to rule and reign. Thank God that he came to bless. Thank God that he came to deliver. Thank God that he is our healer. Thank God that he wants to save us and forgive us of our sins. But he also came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means that he is the one who establishes the law of the kingdom. He's the one who says, this is the way that you should live. You should live by faith and not by sight. You should live a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in my sight. And the trouble with Jerusalem, the trouble with Herod, is they did not want anyone taking their authority. They didn't want anyone telling them how they should live. They didn't want anyone telling them what they should do. They did not want this king to be king. And so the trouble that a lot of people have with Christmas is the lordship. They have trouble with the miraculous. And so here Jesus was saying, the kingdom of God is within you. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life, the kingdom of God is within you. It is a growing kingdom, a kingdom where he wants to take you from faith to faith, a kingdom where he wants to take you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Thank God that he doesn't intend on leaving us where we're at. He wants us to grow. And so he goes on in verse number 22, and he says, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things. So here he's talking about his later life. But he says, there's going to come a day when my appearance is going to come as quickly as lightning. There was a movie when I was a kid, and it was called A Thief in the Night. I was actually baptized on the night that our church showed that video in our service. And you might think that it's been so long since the promise was made that he's delayed his coming. There are mockers. The Bible talks about the reality that there will be mockers and scoffers in the last day, and they will deny the reality of his second coming because He simply hasn't come yet. But the reality is that when he comes, it is going to be so quick and so sudden that there's not going to be anybody who's going to be able to make any additional preparations beyond that which they have. Now, I've had some people who've heard me share on this, and they've said, I believe that he's coming, but I believe it is going to be a long, long time away. And I said, brother, that's a really dangerous position, you see, because I believe that he could come at any given point in time. I believe that that if the Father were to lean over and say, it's time to go get your bride, that it would happen as quick as a flash. But the reality is we need to be ready should that happen, even between, before the end of this broadcast. If it happened, that we need to be ready for it. We need to make sure that our sin issues have been dealt with, that we have established Jesus on the throne room of our life, that he is renewing our mind so that we think like him, that he is transforming our heart so that the issues that flow out of our heart are the issues that flow out of his heart. We need to be making those preparations now. But even if the coming of the Lord is a ways away, and it could be. I mean, I'm not here to tell God when the second coming should be. When I was in college, I believed, I prayed for God to come right before final exams. It's like, oh God, this test is going to be really bad. Now would be a really good time for you to come back. I'm not looking for him to come back for a defeated church. I'm looking for him to come back for a church that is on the move, that is walking in faith, that is walking in power, and that is doing great exploits because they know God. But even if he doesn't come back now, I need to be ready to persevere should persecution and hardship comes. I need to have a faith that is more than just a few words that crosses my lips. There needs to be a work that is done in my heart that no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how complicated life gets, how hard it becomes for Christians, that we continue to stand in faith. I told you I had people who would argue with me, and I said, brother, that's a really dangerous position, because the reality is, even if you put off and postpone a decision and making and asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, there's not anything that guarantees that you're even going to make it to your destination. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You don't know how quickly a heart attack can come. You don't know how quickly an accident can come. And you need to be ready right now. You need to be ready, because I've known kids that were just little bit, I mean, they had not even approached their teen years yet, who entered eternity. You don't know how quickly a teenager, I was in a church one time, and a teenager who loved God and was actually in Bible college, that on Christmas Eve, her life was cut short tragically. The person that was driving the vehicle ended up flipping their vehicle. It landed in a canal, and they both drowned. You need to be ready. You don't know. I know so many people that live life like the man who had stored up treasures in his barn, and yet all of a sudden there was a word that says, do you not know that tonight your life as you know it is over? And he died that night. You need to be ready, because when it comes, when the threshold of eternity is upon you, it comes suddenly. So I encourage you to be ready. The only way that you can be ready is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. I know that there are people that want to declare that there's this way to heaven or that way to heaven, but Jesus himself said the only way to the Father was through him. He was the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. In Micah chapter 5, it says, he's the one. I believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. The shedding of his blood was the only thing that would take care of our sin issues. So make sure that you are ready and that you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life and to be growing in your faith on a daily basis. Jesus goes on and he talks about his second coming, and he says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they married their wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It happened suddenly. It had gone on for so long. It took Noah decades to build the ark, and then all of a sudden the rains were there, the floods were there, the heavens opened up, and there was no time to make preparations at that point in time. And so I want to encourage you. I mean, you have probably feasted like we have feasted. We just had our Christmas banquet on Sunday night. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Oompa's Diner on North Courtney Parkway. They're in Merritt Island. They catered our Christmas banquet, and I had a lady that was testifying. She said that was the best food we've ever had, and we've had some really incredible food through the years. But Oompa's Diner did a tremendous job on our banquet, and we thank Sam and Michelle for all that they've done. And so if you drop in and check them out for breakfast or lunch, tell them that you heard about it. You heard about their restaurant on the Refresh broadcast from Pastor Bob Arthur. So they ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. And so, you know, they were going through all of the normal activities of life. In verse number 28, he continues, he says, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on one day it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." You might be one of those skeptics out there and you say, "Oh, well, Noah is just folklore. And Sodom and Gomorrah, all of that is just mythology from the Bible." I want you to notice that this is Jesus that is saying that. You can disagree with me. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to get into a contentious debate. All I do in my life is I believe what God says. And Jesus said that it happened. He said, "As it was in the days of Noah, and as it was also in the days of Lot." And when Jesus says, "As it was in those days, so it's going to be when I come again," I'm left to say, you know what? If God says it's a historical fact, I believe it's a historical fact. When Jesus says that's the way it was, I believe that's the way it was. When he says that those who were ready were delivered, and those who weren't were they perished, I believe that is what happened. And so he says, that's the way it's going to be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, verse number 31, it says, "In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife." I pray that you have embarked on this journey of faith with Jesus. And I pray that as you put your hand to the plow, that there's no looking back, that there's no remorse or no regret about asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Instead, you have your eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, and that you know that it is full steam ahead from here. And so he says, don't be tempted to go back for your material possessions. He says, if you're in the field, know that God is getting ready to take you on a journey that is greater than anything you've ever experienced before. And he says, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I heard a sermon years ago. It was by one of Bill Wilson's staff pastors up in New York City in the ministry to the children of New York City. And he said, if you look at the story of Lot and his wife, that the angel had said, when you are going to this town, that I can't do anything until you get there. And so then you go on and you look at the story that when the fire and the brimstone begins to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot's wife turns around and she is turned into a pillar of salt. What that means is she was at the very threshold of the city, and instead of pursuing into the city, that she turned back. There was something that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, in all of its sin, in all of its vexation of Lot's soul, there was something in that place that was so desirable for Lot's wife that she had a desire to turn and look in a longing manner that said, I really miss that already. You know what? I do not miss the pain and the suffering of sin. I do not miss the misery that it causes. I do not miss the affliction. You know, there are people and they continue to pursue things that degrade them, that humiliate them. You know, people who in just a few days, they are going to be so thoroughly intoxicated that it is going to make them violently ill. You know what? I've never been a part of that. I look at that and say, there's nothing desirable about that. And there's nothing that makes me want to miss that. I pray that that's the attitude that you have about sin, that, you know what? I have gone too far in my walk with God. I recognize that the pleasures of God for eternity are better than the pleasures of sin for a season. And there's no turning back for me. I pray that that is the heart that you've got. It says in verse number 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together, the one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And he said, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. I want you to know that God doesn't want any to perish, but you have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. Are we going to live life the way God instructs us to in his word? Are we going to believe the one who came from heaven, the one who ascended to heaven, the one who wants to take us to heaven, or are we going to believe somebody else who has a theory on how to get there? As for me and my house, we are going to believe the Lord our God. As for Merit Assembly of God, as for Pastor Bob Arthur's, we are going to continue to believe the Word of God. Jesus said he is coming back. They didn't believe it when he said he was coming the first time, but he came anyway. They don't believe it when he says he's coming again, but the reality is he's coming again. Be ready for his return. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more.